Proverbs chapter 11. Today I wanted to look at the topic of applying God's word. There's a difference to understanding and knowing, just knowing the things in God's word, the eternal truths that we all know, and between that and daily living what we know. You can know a lot of things, you know, we can all know a lot of things and verses and so forth, but if we don't apply what we know, then it's not of much value. You know, you can, and God says it a lot of different ways in his word throughout. I'm sure you can think of many, many. Keep my commandments, you know my statutes, stick to my word, believe my word, and so forth. You know, be not a hearer only, but a doer. There's a lot of different ways that God says it in his word. And, you know, today I thought we'd take a little bit of time just to look at a couple of verses and what the application of those verses might be to life. Just a couple of examples. I'm going to look at these. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you when you have these verses, when you try to apply these verses to your life, it takes thought. It takes meditation. It takes time. It takes time to understand. Some of them, you know, may be quite obvious, but you'll also notice that some of these verses, though they're one single verse, it can have far-reaching effects to what it actually means for you and me in our day-by-day living. So I thought we'd just look at a few examples today and to see how we apply the Word of God that we read. In Proverbs chapter 11, we'll start there. Then we'll look briefly at how to understand better how to apply the Word of God. In Proverbs 11:1 is a wonderful verse. It says, "A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." And in chapter 16, another corresponding verse in 16:11, it says, "A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work." So, you know, you take that verse, a just balance, a just weight. How does that apply? What do you do with that verse now that you have it, you know about it? What do you do with that verse in your life? You know, I'm going to give you some things that I think about that it means to me. You know, I always use the example of a bread shop. You know, when you go to a shop that sells bread, if you give a guy that sells the bread, the baker, $4, and he gives you a loaf of bread, you've got something, he's got something. That's a just deal. It's a just balance. It's a just weight. It's like a good biblical deal, good biblical transaction. So I think about that. Gambling, for example. Let's take gambling on the other side. Let's say you play, you know, 10 guys playing cards and one guy comes out the big winner, or you have something like a lottery, you know, where millions of people buy tickets, one person makes 10 million, the other people don't make anything. That kind of, the ethic behind that kind of thing, it's not a good deal, is it? Because in that case, you got a bunch of people who lost a lot of money, but one person, is that a just balance, just weight? No, it's not. Again, I'm not telling you what you should or shouldn't do. I'm just saying when you look at the Word of God, we need to think about it and think about how it applies to the things that we deal with each day. How about corporations? How would a corporation read that verse, a just balance? Well, to me, what it means is if you're running a company, you have people working for you, then you ought to pay them a decent salary. And if your company does well one year, they ought to share profit sharing or whatever the terms they use in the world with that, because they're the reason that you did well. That would be a just balance and a just weight, wouldn't it? But if you have people who run companies and then the employees just get the bare minimum and never get any salary bonuses or anything when the company does huge profits, in my mind, that's not a just balance. It's not a just weight. So you see how, you know, a small verse that, you know, written thousands of years ago has implications to your day-by-day living, to the day-by-day living of nations and countries and corporations, but only if people read it and actually apply that word to their life. if you just read the word and memorize it and have all these verses in our minds and we never do anything with them, then we don't see the benefits that God intended behind them. How about raffle tickets? You know, I was thinking about again, I'm not saying you should or shouldn't buy raffle tickets. I just think of these things and say, well, raffle ticket, maybe just for a turkey. You know, every 100 people buy a ticket. One person wins turkey, everybody else, another 99 don't get anything. Not a just way. Now, you might say, well, I was just trying to give to this just cause. Well, I would think you could just give the just cause. Anyway, couldn't you? Anyway, again, not trying to tell you what to do, but thinking about a just balance, how does it imply? I was thinking about tithing. Tithing to me is also another example where this verse applies. Well, how would that apply? And again, we'll look a little in a few minutes at how to understand how to apply the word to our lives. But when I think about tithing, there's nothing that we have in this life that didn't originate from God. It says in the Bible, it's God that gives us the power to get wealth or do anything. It's His. He owns the world. And we looked at last week, He made the world. He owns it. And the cattle on 1,000 hills, right? He owns it all. So anything we have, because someone might say to you, well, you have a job and you got paid and you were able to buy that because you have a job. And I would say, well, you know what? I thank God that I have a job in the world that He made. If you take it back, everything goes back to Him. There's nothing that we have that doesn't originate from Him. So for me, I think about tithing. Tithing is just my way of saying thank you. I recognize, you know, that you do this all for us. To just wait. It's thanking Him for what He's done. I look at that as a just balance, just wait. For me, not to thank Him would be unjust in my mind when I apply that verse. So that was one of them. Another verse. These aren't really related, but I just thought I would look at some and try to see how we could apply them. In Proverbs 4. Another verse that I think about quite often. Proverbs 4, verse 14. It says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not into the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. I mean, pretty clear. You know, those verses are pretty simple. How do they apply to my life? Well, people read newspapers, online or otherwise. And sometimes there's a section of the newspaper called the horoscope, right? And people look at the signs of the zodiac, the false science of astrology, not astronomy, astrology, where they try to figure out what's going to happen to you, you know, in that day or the rest of your life. As a believer, I might say, well, what do I know about the word? Let me just read it again. It says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not into the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Now, I take that to mean, this is what I take it to mean, don't even read what that stupid thing says. Now, others could say, well, I'll just read it, and it won't really harm me if I read it, but that's not what the verse means when I really, really think about it, to me. You know, again, I'm not telling you what to do or not to do, but if you think about how the word of God applies, and Isaiah talks very clearly about, you know, prognosticators and astrologers and how God had told Israel, do not pay heed to them. Get them out of the land. Don't even pay them any lip service at all. Nothing. How about movies? You know, again, everybody makes up their own mind and what they watch and don't watch. But if I see a movie, for example, that glorifies the devil. Not that Hollywood makes any of those. I know that. They would not do that. Right. Anyway, so if I see a movie, I can say, well, you know what? I'll just watch the trailer. That won't really hurt me. I'll just watch it and see what... Well, let me read that verse again. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. So if I'm walking down the street and I see an alleyway, I know down that alleyway there's a... person who tells fortune or tarot card reading or something, God says, don't even pass by it. Turn around, pass. In other words, go across the street, go find some other street. Don't even go near. Don't even give it the time of day. This is how I think about this verse to me. You know, and we all know, we looked at it a little while ago about how images can impact your mind and life. how, you know, for good or worse, what, like, do I really want to click on that internet link and see an image that, oh, I think I can handle it? Or should I just read what it says here? Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. You know, it takes a lot of work to apply the Word of God to your life. It just doesn't happen. You memorize a verse, but to actually sit there and say, how can I apply this to my life to do what my Father God wants for me? How do I do that? And it's not easy. You know, so do I click on that link? Maybe. You know, I'll just take a quick look. It won't harm anybody. One image, a few words can change your life. I think we all know that. Maybe you've heard a verse, or not a verse, but you've heard it, seen an image, or someone's said something to you in your life, and you can never forget it. You know, unless you ask for God's help to forget things, which you can do, by the way. He can help you forget things. So, do I want to do it? Well, I would rather avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Now, can I do, am I allowed to do whatever I want? Right? Paul writes in Corinthians, all things are allowable. I can do, it says it multiple times, I can do whatever I want, but not all things are profitable. So you are under total freedom, thanks be to God. But then God tells you, yes, you have the freedom, but here's what I would like you to do. Choice is ours. How do we apply the word? So let's look at another one. Philippians chapter 4. Again, totally unrelated, but just fun to think about verses and how do I apply them to my life? How do I apply God's word to get the benefits that God intended? Philippians chapter 4. You guys all know the verse. We heard it last Wednesday on the Zoom fellowship. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, or be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Okay, how do I apply that to my verse? To my verse? To my life? How do I apply that verse to my life? I feel a cold coming on. Oh no, I feel, you know, every time this time of year I get sick and it's coming. I can feel it. I just know that by the end of the week I'm going to be sick. Okay, well, I could do that, or I could say, don't be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. It takes time, it takes effort. This takes a lot of concentration of your soul and your will and your mind to do these things. It doesn't just happen. I could say, well, I'm going to go to God. I'm going to talk to Him about it. I'm going to give thanks for what God's done through Jesus Christ, my Lord. And I'm going to make known to Him the problems that I'm having so that He can help me. That's an option, isn't it? That would be a good application of that verse. I don't feel like I have enough money this week to pay the rent or to buy food or whatever. Okay, what do I know from the verse? What do I know from the Bible? Well, the Bible tells me, don't be anxious, but in everything, prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God, and the peace that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So I could do that. But I have to make a concentration of the will to actually do it. I have to actually do that if I'm going to get that peace that passes all understanding. Just knowing it is not enough. It's never enough. Because if I just know it and I don't actually follow it, then it's not going to bring the benefits that God has intended to my life. How about I'm worried about the safety of my family? You know, I mean, we have kids and relatives and friends and loved ones, and they're all over the world and doing this and doing that and getting into this and getting that. Well, you know, what would happen if something happened to them? What happens if they got this and did that and hurt them? Well, I could sit there all day and think about that, or I could say, what does the Bible tell me? Be anxious for nothing. Don't be distracted in your life, but make your request known to me, God says. And, you know, just be thankful. And I'm going to make sure you have the peace that passes all understanding that Jesus Christ made available. I could do that. My choice is always mine. But if I don't actively take the time to do that verse, sit there and thank God and make my request known to Him whenever I'm about to feel anxious and distracted, then I won't get the benefits of that. So, you know, applying God's word is a real art. It's a real challenge. It doesn't just happen. So how does God help us? Now, I thought we'd look at that. But before we do that, let's look at the master, the guy who was the best at applying God's word in his life. I think you all know I'm talking about Luke chapter 4. The Lord Jesus Christ was a master at applying the word in his life. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he was hungry. He hadn't eaten for 40 days. So he definitely was hungry. And the devil said unto him, verse 3, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread, which is the most, probably one of the worst temptations that Jesus Christ could have faced after not eating for 40 days. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written. Now, first of all, he knew that this verse was written. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. It's in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy. We know it's there. Jesus Christ knew. He knew that the verse was written. He knew that it was written. But not only did he know that it was written, which it says it is written, but he knew how to apply it. He knew how to apply the word of God. Right? But because he could have said there, oh, don't you know a just balance is the Lord's delight? That would have nothing to do with the situation, would it? Nothing. Not only did he know the, because there's a lot of verses, but he knew the one that, in this case, also applied to this situation. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him unto a high mountain, verse 5, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. Who gave it to him? Adam delivered it unto him. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. He had the power to do that. And Jesus answered and said unto him, he didn't say to him, you don't have the power, because he knew that the devil did have the power. And he could have responded by saying, well, that means all the corporations in the world? Maybe I'll just take one. I'll just take Coca-Cola. Or I guess they didn't exist back then, but I don't know. Jerusalem juice. I'll take that one, you know. And the rest I won't need. Because one would be okay, wouldn't it? Look what he says. Verse 8. Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. Again, Jesus Christ knew that it was written. He knew that there was a verse that said this. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Him only shalt thou serve. He also knew how to apply. And you got to keep thinking about it. This is the only begotten Son of God. He is not walking on water here. He is not calming storms. He's not raising the dead. He's not cleansing lepers. He's quoting scripture. And look who he's being tempted by. I don't think any of us have had the devil himself come to you, into your life, and say, here, let me try and tempt you. This is Satan himself tempting Jesus Christ. It doesn't get any worse than this. This is worse than internet links and tarot cards and the things. This is worse than that. Okay? Hence himself. And to this guy, you would think Jesus Christ would do lightning storms and thunder and call down. No. He said to him, this is what the word of God says. And he applied it exactly as required, because he knew how to apply the word. He's a master at it. Get thee behind me. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord, and him so only, I'm not going to serve you. Get lost. Verse 9. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence. For it is written, let me try a little bit of the game you're playing with me, Jesus. You think you know what's written? I know what's written too. See, he's baiting him. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee. Don't you know your God says he'll take care of you? And in their hand they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against stone. Is that written? Absolutely. Quoted perfectly. So you know the verse. Jesus Christ knew the verses. The devil knew the verses. He says, look, here's a verse you should know, Jesus. Don't you know that if you jump off there, that your God says he's going to take care of you? See, he's trying to get Jesus to apply the word in a certain way. Or in this case, misapply the word. But he knew it was written. Let's see what Jesus Christ does. And Jesus answering said, yeah, let me give it a shot. No. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That was the proper application of this verse to that situation, not the one the devil was trying to do. Because the devil will say all kinds of things. Well, don't you know you have freedom to do it? Jesus Christ gave your freedom to whatever you want. You can look at that. You can learn about tarot cards. It's okay. You have the freedom to do so. You can gamble. You can do whatever you want. Don't you worry about it. You know, try that drug. It's okay. You have freedom. It says it in Corinthians. Don't you know? You can do all things are allowable. Didn't Paul the Apostle say that to you guys? You see how you can misapply the word, or you can take the time in your life to see how the word of God can be applied. And Jesus Christ certainly did. And guess what happened? Look at this. And when the devil had ended all his temptation, he departed from him for a season. For a little while. I'll be back. But you see, and all it took, and I say that it's not that simple, all it took was for Jesus Christ to say to the adversary what the word of God says, to apply it properly, and it backed down Satan. That should be a really, really very, very clear lesson to every believer about what it means to apply the word of God to our lives. In Psalm 119. So let's think a little bit about how do we learn to apply the word of God to our lives? How do we learn this very important skill, if you will? Now, I thought about other examples too when I was looking through this. How about speaking in tongues? It says in the Word of God that speaking in tongues edifies you. It builds you up. Does speaking in tongues build you up if you don't speak in tongues? No. A real simple application of speaking in tongues to build you up would be to speak in tongues. And then the Bible says it builds you up. But if I don't speak in tongues, it doesn't build me up. That's a pretty basic, simple application. How about when I'm anxious and I don't know what to pray for as I ought? The Bible says I could speak in tongues, and then that will take care of that situation. You see how, you know, we need to be masters at applying God's word. How about the verse, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship at light with darkness and all that? You know, what does that mean? Now, you know, again, how do you learn what all these verses mean? How do you learn how to apply these to your particular situation? And that's what I wanted to look at next. In Proverbs 119, verse 27, make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. In verse 148. The psalmist saying, make me to understand. Verse 148. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. He was looking forward to the night watches so he could meditate on God's word. The very simple key in understanding and learning how to apply God's word to our lives is to meditate on God's word. Think God's word. It says in Job, it's God that gives the heart of man understanding about things. God is the one who gives you understanding about things. In Psalm 1, go back to Psalm 1, please. And that psalmist was looking forward to the night watches so he could spend some time thinking about God's word. What a wonderful way to spend the time. What time well spent. So you sit there in your, you know, in your room and you go, it says, you know, order my steps in thy word. What does that mean? Order my steps in thy word. Let me think about that, God. God, would you help me? Show me what that means. Does that mean that I should try and do what your word says? How do I order my... You see, that's all meditation is. It's just sitting down and thinking things through. Thinking about it and asking, and it says in the Bible that if you do that in God's word, because God made your mind to hold the word of God, if you do that, God will give you understanding. And then you will know. In Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. This man who's blessed thinks about these things day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Because verse 1 said, blessed is the man that walketh not. So if you're not walking in the counsel of the ungodly, then you're walking in the counsel of God. You are applying God's word to your life day by day. And you're getting, and then you're getting blessed by what God tells you, by what God intended his word to do for you. That's the man that's blessed. He does what the word of God says. And in order to do it, notice he couldn't just do it. He had to meditate, to think about it. If he that speaketh in tongue edifieth him. Okay, that means if I speak in tongues, I build myself up. So if I'm feeling a little bit down or tired, or maybe I want to speak in tongues and get built up. Maybe I want to have rest to my soul. Maybe I'm being anxious because I need to pray for somebody. You know, like you just think this, you talk it through with God. You meditate. You think about the word. You know, it's not a complicated thing, but very important. Back to Psalm 119. In verse 99 of 119, it says, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why? For thy testimonies are my meditation. So, where did this guy get understanding more than all his teachers? The understanding he got because he meditated on the testimonies of God's word. He thought about them. He sat down, and guess what? And as a result of him meditating on these things, guess what he got? Understanding. He understood. He knew what to do. He knew how to apply the word of God. In verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. See, it's the word of God thought about, meditated, and allowed in that gives us understanding. If I want to know how to apply the word of God to my life, I have to think the word, know the word, and have God show me how to apply it, how to understand it better and better. In Joshua 1, Joshua chapter 1. It certainly isn't complicated, but we saw from the example of Jesus Christ how powerful it can be. In a simple verse like when we started off by looking at just balance and how a little verse can have far-reaching consequences and impacts to life, corporations, companies, nations. It's just a simple truth that God put there. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Now that doesn't mean you just sit down 24/7 and just think about scriptures. The blessed is the man, day and night. That means that, you know, when you have those times of thought where many times we may let our mind wander or fill it with what might be considered useless stuff, they thought the word. They thought about it. You know, I'm really working this section, God. I don't understand. I don't understand what this means. You know, I've been applying this to the atonement of Jesus Christ lately in my life. I want to understand better what thinking, accepting the atonement of Jesus Christ means in the area of deliverance. Because I do know that at one point in my life where I made one change in my thought, and that was to accept Jesus as my Lord. It was all it was. All it was a determination of my mind to say, yes, I accept Jesus as my Lord, and I believe God raised him from the dead. You know, there's nothing, I was in a car in Cape Breton. There's nothing had changed my circumstances. There was nothing, you know, there wasn't, but I went from body and soul to body, soul, and spirit, having a hope that is sure and steadfast, seated in the right hand of God, filled with the fullness of God, loved of God, righteous, sanctified, justified, redeemed in a single thought. That's pretty incredible that God would allow that to happen. So what could possibly happen if we accept other verses in the Word of God to be true, just like we accepted Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Think about it. Literally, think about it. That's what helps us to understand how to apply the Word of God to our lives. This is what God told Joshua. That thou mayest, so he said to him, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. You know, you think my word, that thou mayest observe then what to do. First you got to think about it, then you do to do according to all that is written therein, and then the result, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. It's a very simple formula. God says, think my word, meditate on it. Then you can actually apply it. Then you can do it. And when you do my word, he says, guess what? You get success. You get blessing. And we'll close in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1. This is a great chapter, but we'll just read a couple of verses. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Talking about, you know, making sure that the word that he knew, that he would find those who he could teach, and they also could teach, and they could teach that cycle that keeps on going. And then verse 7, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. So he told Timothy, you know, keep my word, make sure you find men that can teach others. Just think about what I've said, Timothy, and it's the Lord who is going to give you understanding in all things. You know, it's a pretty simple principle, but a very, very powerful one. If I want to learn how to apply God's word in my life, in any area of life, in any verse, anything that I might have an area, I have to first of all find those promises. You know, Jesus Christ in the back of his mind confronting the devil, he had to find that promise, bring it to his remembrance. And you know, it says in the Bible that when he was at the age of 12, he was already in the temple asking questions and giving amazing answers. He knew his word, he knew God's word. When he met those men on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24, he said he showed to them in the prophets all things concerning himself, in the Psalms and the prophets. He showed him all the things that were concerning himself. He knew the word of God. He had thought about it. He had meditated in it. As a result, he knew how to apply the word of God. And so the same truth is very simple and applicable to us. If I want to know how to apply God's word, I got to find the promises. I got to think about them and ask God for understanding, and then if I act on them, apply them to my life in the areas that I'm thinking about, then God says you'll be blessed, then thou shalt have good success. So applying God's word is a very, very simple technique, but a very powerful one that can have far-reaching effects to our lives. Yeah, so there.